Praise God indeed. Just want to welcome everybody here to First Pentecostal tonight. All of you watching online, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're just going to go ahead and get our service started. Again, I hope everyone's had a great day. Just want to continue to keep each and every prayer request that was mentioned this morning in every situation. We're going to have a special prayer here shortly. But we're going to go ahead and just open up with prayer too. If you can, let's all stand. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. You know, God is working His mighty works in so many different places. And as we speak those spoken prayer requests, those that come over the screen, those in the prayer box, those text blasts that we get, and as I said many times, that's a wonderful thing about technology, or even being able to broadcast our service live or to watch it at a later date. If you're watching with us tonight, again, I say welcome. If you have a prayer request, please just type it in the comment section and we'll definitely be praying with you. We do review it. We do keep up with it. And if you have a praise report, go ahead and type that in too and just let us know how great God is. But here, if you have a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. Praise God. And let's go ahead and raise that other hand and just give the Lord a praise. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you tonight. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord. We just want to lift you up. We want to honor you, dear Lord. We want to come to you, Lord, humbly tonight, dear Lord, as we open up this service. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather in your name and allowing us to gather with your holy presence. Lord, now we just release everything to you. Dear Lord, you see the hands that were raised, dear Lord. You know the depths of our hearts. You know the needs, dear Lord. You know those that are in the hospital right now. Those that are preparing for procedures, dear Lord. Those that are waiting on a diagnosis. And Lord, also those that you've carried through. Dear Lord, that you're now just have them in rehab and in every situation, you're putting them back on their feet. Dear Lord, we lift up our families to you, our homes, our jobs, our finances. Dear Lord, every situation that we know that you take control of. Lord, we just want to release it to you and to you alone. Dear Lord, we ask for your guidance and your protection. Dear Lord, as we prepare and we open this service, Lord, fill us with your spirit. Dear Lord, let the Holy Ghost just have a free reign amongst each and every one of us. And, dear Lord, as we go through this daily life, dear Lord, we ask you to guide us and protect us. Lord, again, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. They were practicing and playing so pretty when I came in, I didn't have a chance to tell them, keep on the firing line, page 212. Page 212, keep on the firing line. Let's continue. Yes, Lord.
Surely you must fight. Keep on.
sound mighty pretty this evening. Just praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up our evening, continuing our service. Let's just continue to be in that praise and worship mode and just let the Lord just continue to take this service through. So as we get ready to take up our offering tonight, don't forget about our multi-church announcement service. Be March 20th at Sunday night. Make plans to come. And here comes some ushers. Great. Praise God. Two special ones. Praise God. Brother Luke, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
There is a blood that calls a life that paid my way. Death, its price, and when it flowed down from the my sins were gone, my sins forgot. Oh, there is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood. that gave me life. But in 3 days he breathed again, and he rose to stand in my defense. And so it sights the blind, it heals the sick and the lonely it finds. Oh, and it has the power to free the bound as the chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out, Lord, to cleanse my soul, and let His liquid glory flow. Oh, because it lives to make me whole.
Grave.
That's right.
it try to hide. This precious blood, oh, that gave us life.
Yes, amen.
But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim he's coming back for you.
Have you ever stared down a mountain too tall to climb? No way to get over, no matter how hard you try. But somehow the Lord got you to the other side. Can I get a witness? Have you stood on the bank of a Red Sea wrestling doubt? Cause it's too far to swim and too wide to get around. But the good Lord brought you through walking on dry ground. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a hand raised high? Can I get a witness? Anybody want to testify? If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible, can I get a witness? Are you standing in a fire and the flames won't let you go? But you're still holding on to a single thread of hope that the Lord can deliver and you won't even smell like smoke. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Get a witness. Anybody want to testify? If you cried out for a miracle and you've seen him do the impossible, can I get a witness? You can't stay silent if you can't keep quiet. Then here's your chance. Here's your chance.
Can I get a witness?
Just go on and raise your hands.
Can I get a witness?
If you've cried out for a miracle and you've seen him
sing. You'll find there's nothing to hold on to in this old world. We have to hang on to that anchor. The anchor holds. Y'all worship with me. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea.
The anchor holds.
though the ship is battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds. The storm.
Hallelujah.
In your name, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. Y'all know y'all can go sit down. Y'all ain't got to worry about me singing. We'd be people leaving pretty quick if I went to singing. Certain callings in your life you don't know if you got, and some you're 100% sure you don't have. And singing, I'm 100% sure I don't have that calling. Well, I always appreciate the opportunity to be able to be here, be able to come to church, especially to be able to stand up and be able to minister God's word. Before we start with the message tonight, Mama Kate, if y'all know, I'm sure all of you know by now, she'd fell this morning. She'd got 6 stitches, and they sent her to somewhere in Atlanta to a trauma center because she had bleeding on her brain. They'd done a CT. They're trying to get her in ICU right now to watch her, but she had got bleeding on her brain. So there, as far as we know right now, there's nothing they can do about it. Brother Eddie just asked, please pray. Well, I thought, what better way to open up the Word of God than to have Karen, if she didn't mind, standing in for her grandmother. And also, not just Mama, that God will heal her, but that God will encourage and strengthen Brother Eddie, because I know it's a lot on him as well. Being up there, and he had a funeral he was supposed to do today. Brother Jim done it this morning. I know Brother Chris preached, and Brother Eddie's been, he's 100 different things, 100 different ways. I know he's not complained or said anything, but I know he could use the strength as well. Amen. So if you don't mind, if y'all, anybody that's willing or wanting to, if y'all come, and we're going to anoint Karen, and we're going to pray for Mama and Brother Eddie. Because we know a God that can heal, that can deliver,
yes,
and that can move. I never before. Dear God, we praise you.
Bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord.
Should have got Kevin's wheelchair.
Well, I think, thankful that we serve a mighty God. I'm thankful that we serve a living God. I'm thankful that we serve a God who hears our prayers, who sees our heart. And I'm thankful that there's a God that can go places that we can't. Because thanks to COVID and other things, only one person can go somewhere. Thankfully, Brother Eddie can be with Mama. A few months ago, they said they didn't even let anybody in there. So thankfully, Brother Eddie's able to be with her. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. After this prayer we just had up here, I don't know if this message is going. 1 Corinthians 15. And 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. Brother Jim, would you mind?
Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we thank you again for your many blessings, of your mercy. Lord, as your word is read, dear Lord, may we just be opened up. Open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, and we receive your word. Lord, bless the minister as he brings forth your word tonight. And, Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's word. If I had a title tonight, it would be Drying Up. Drying Up. Has anybody in here ever felt inadequate? It can be at anything. Well, there's sometimes that I get feeling inadequate, inadequate to teach, especially inadequate to get up here and to be able to preach. Inadequate just to be able to tell people about God. I feel like, Lord, I've done so much, or I do so much, or I don't do enough for you that I don't feel like I deserve to be able to get up here and to tell people. You see people that get up here like Brother Eddie, Brother Jim, Brother Chris is preaching, like, man, I want to be like that. I want to get up here and preach like that. But you feel inadequate. But I'm here to tell you that a lot of your inadequacies is caused by the devil, and that's what he's going to try to do, is he's going to do the best he can. Because when you read this verse and first read it, it really stuck out to me, but it seems pretty easy. It says, "My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." It seems pretty simple. I can get up and I can work for the Lord. Surely I can. And then I find myself reading the word, but am I really understanding what I'm reading, or am I reading just to tell that I read every day? Because if I can tell everybody that I read every day, then I look pretty good, because I can look the part. I can wear a tie and dress pants and dress shoes and come to church and smile and act like everything's fine. And you can look the part, and it's okay to do, and you can fool some people, and that's fine. But there's one we can't fool. There's one that knows our hearts. And what I've been, I guess really I've been thinking on lately, is Christians that are drying up. Why are we drying up? Why is it that it seems like we want to tell people that they need to be Christians? You need to live for God. You need to be Christians. Live for Him. Well, just by the look of some of the Christians' faces, and I wouldn't want to be like them. They're some of the most miserable people you've ever met in your life. To be more than conquerors, that you read through the Word, they sit up here defeated every day, every time you meet them. There's nothing ever good that comes out. And don't get me wrong, I know we have trials and we have troubles and we have tribulation and situations. I'm not making light of any of those. I'm not trying to tell you that we don't go through problems and trials. But it's time that we as Christians, when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, you give your life to Christ, you're on fire. You want to tell everybody about it. I don't care if you're at the grocery store. I always think of Sister Coleman. I always think of her. When people want a prayer, I remember Chrissy telling they'd be in the middle of shopping and she'd throw down right there. And you're like, Chrissy would be wanting to hide under the clothes because people would be looking and she didn't care where she was. And it wasn't no quiet, let's get to the corner, we'll say our prayer. We'll do that. No, it's in the middle of the clothing aisle, and whoever comes by, they're going to be part of it. And if they didn't watch out, it'd be jumping on them. That's how Sister Coleman was. She was never bashful about serving the Lord. She was never bashful about her walk with Christ. To the day she passed away, she was still telling them, everything's okay. Everything's quite all right. Even though we knew and we could see that she was passing, not a worry to her because she knew where she was going. She knew what she had laid up in store for her. But when we first give our life to God and we start living for Him, we're on fire. We're telling everybody. We want everybody to know, no matter where we're at, what we're doing. And then it's not long, we start stepping back a little and stepping back a little. And then before you know it, people don't even know if we're Christians or not. We got to go up and tell them. I don't want to have to tell people that I live for God. I want people to be able to look at me and say there's something different about Him. I may not be able to tell what it is, but there's something different about the way He's living. Because I've seen Him face trials. I've seen Him face struggles. But I've not seen it. I've not let Him seen Him let it beat Him down. I've seen Him continue to keep on every day, to keep smiling, to keep encouraging others. It's hard to encourage others when you're facing trials yourself. It's hard to tell yourself that you got to go pray for people and you got to be there for people and you got to be the one to lift the other people up. Sometimes you want to have your little pity party and say, I'm feeling bad too and I'm going to lay right here and cry and everybody can come and ask me how I'm doing. But when I'm going through trials, nobody calls me and asks me how I'm doing. A lot of times we tell ourselves that. Who cares if nobody calls and asks you how you're doing? But you... big boy pants on, and let's start praying for other people. You want to see a change? Commit your life to Christ fully, completely. What does it say? Steadfast, unmovable. Yeah, although it don't always go the way we want it to. It don't always turn out the way that I'd like for it to turn out. But not once has He failed me. Not once has He quit. Not once has God told me, I'm too busy to hear your prayer. No matter how I've lived my life, when I've turned and I've prayed to Him, He stood right there beside me. Because you see, He's never left me. I'm the one that's told Him, you sit right here and I got this myself. Because I can handle these certain problems and things by myself. And He continues to follow me. No, you can't. When you finally realize it, I'm going to be here to pick you up. If you read in the Amplified Version, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord. Doing more than enough the service of the Lord. At my job, I want to be good at my job. I always took pride in my job. I didn't think I was the best at being a lineman, but I thought I was a good lineman. I always wanted to do good, and I always wanted to do above what other people would do. I always wanted to excel. I wanted people to be like, if we had a bunch of trouble or we had poles broke, I want him to come out here with me. That's how I always wanted to be. I'm not saying I was. People probably may not have wanted me. But that's how I always wanted to be. I took a new job, same company, but a different role, and that's how I try to do. I don't want to just meet the expectations. I want to exceed. I want to do better. And my boss probably like, just sit down and leave me alone for 10 minutes because I get these goals and get accomplished and I'll go to them. Hey, what do I need to do now? All right, well, what do I need to do now? He's probably thinking, good Lord, just give me 10 minutes. But I do. I always want to do good. But then when it comes to living for God, how do I want to do it? Do I want to live a mediocre life? Because you see, I can see myself start drying up. I can see myself start drying up because I'm not on fire like I used to be. I don't have it just churning in my heart. Like Jeremiah said in 20:9, it's like fire shut up in my bones. You see, that's how I want it to be. I want it to be in me so much and on my mind and on my heart that when you talk to me, there's something coming out about God. There's something that's got to come out because I can't hold it in. I don't want to be a mediocre Christian. I don't want to barely make it through heaven through the skin of your teeth. I don't want to be that type of person. I want to be a person that when people see, they're like, oh, God, here he comes again. We're going to hear something about God or something. That's okay if they say that. I don't mind that. If they say you're taking a little too far with the good Lord, you know, chill out. I'm okay with that. Because if I take it too far in something, that's where I want to be. That's what I want to be, is people know me that he's going to pray for me. He's going to be there for me. He's going to reach the Lord when times I can't. Maybe there's times of struggles I face that I just can't feel like I can't touch the Lord. Well, I want to be the person that says, that's who I want to call. I need to call Brother Tony. I'm not saying that I am that person, but that's where I want to be with my walk with God. How do we get dried up? I believe one of the reasons is we become complacent. I feel okay with my walk. So therefore, if I'm okay with my walk, I'm going to stay right where I'm at in my walk. I'm not going to fall backwards, but I'm not going to go forward. You see, God's got a plan and a calling in our lives. I always go back to Acts chapter 9 when he tells Saul. He's telling Ananias to go pray for Saul, and Ananias is like, Lord, he's killing Christians, are you sure? And he says, he is a chosen vessel unto me. Well, we are a chosen vessel, each and every one of you. And God's got a plan in your life, because there's people in each and every one of your life that I'm not going to be able to reach. Brother Eddie's not going to be able to reach. You see people that none of us see. And we see people that none of y'all may see. So we each have a special purpose. We have a certain calling in our life. We have a purpose. But if we get complacent in our walk with God, then where does that leave us? We become a mediocre Christian, if you want to say. If I get complacent at my job, do I want to be just somebody who comes in, clocks in, smooths right through, clocks out and leaves? Or do I want to make a difference? Because you see, if I'm complacent, I can't make a difference in people's lives. I want to make a positive impact. I tell the teenagers, I tell my kids, make a positive impact on somebody's life. If everybody else is talking about everybody and they're running everybody down, don't be that person. Make a positive impact. Be the person that's willing to stand out and be a little different. Yeah, it's okay. You may not got invited to go off with all them. You may not be part of the popular people, but who cares? At the end of it, look at when you stand before God. What are you going to say? He's going to say, I'm proud of you for not following them, but for standing up and being different. I'm proud of the person that you've become. The greatest thing my parents could ever tell me was that they're proud of me. That's what I want to hear from God. When I go and I stand before him, I want him to hug me and say, I'm so proud of what you've done. I'm so proud of what you've done for me. Another way is we stop listening to God and we start listening to the world. I have no social media. I'm not bashing social media, but I just don't have any of it. I don't watch the news. So there's a lot of stuff people at work, they're like, did you hear about this? I'm, no, I didn't have a clue. No, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, really, man, it's been going on for like a month. I'm like, I didn't hear it. I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. So, but a lot of times we get caught up in what the world is saying instead of listening to God. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not telling you can't watch the news. I'm not telling you can't have social media and all that stuff. I'm not preaching against none of that. But what I'm preaching about is I can get more focused in this right here than I can into this right here. And I can say my Bible's on my phone, but I'm reading my Bible on my phone. Is that what I'm really focused into doing? But see, we can get so caught up in the world. We can get so caught up in things of this world. The teenagers now, it's texting or Snapchatting or whatever it is that just comes through now. They just talk to each other through it all the time. A lot of times there's no face-to-face conversations. There are no handwritten letters anymore. We talked about that the other day with the kids and all about writing letters. I'm like, what do you write letters for? I'm like, well, it used to. You just wrote a letter. I said, you want to shock somebody? Take some time. Write them a personal letter to them. Grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, whoever it may be, just somebody you want, and write them a letter. I said, you'll probably shock them, because the world we live in today don't even do stuff like that. But we get so focused in the world and the thing that's going on in the world that we lose track. And look, I had no social media or nothing like that, but when it come to the presidency, when they were voting and all that, I mean, you didn't have to have anything, and you still heard everything. Because everybody's telling you, you get so wrapped up in it. And I'm like, I can't get wrapped up in this. I got my beliefs. I know where they stand. I vote. But I can't get wrapped up in it to where that consumes me and runs me and it ruins me from focusing on this. Because this is where I want my focus to be on. So I pray and I let God take care of it and take control of it. And I know that He's going to take care of it no matter what happens, no matter how it turns out. I know God's going to take care of it. If we stop listening to the Word and we start listening to the world. And I'm going to tell you one thing, that when we stop listening to God and we start listening to the world, then a lot of times this world is going to do its best to embed fear into your mind. COVID embedded fear. And I'm not making light of COVID. We know what Uncle Terry went through. I know it's real. I know people get sick. And I know there's a difference between being aware and being afraid. But they have made people so afraid, you can't even cough anymore. If you're in the grocery store and you got a cough, you're like, you're trying to cover and hide because you're worried to death. Or if you sneeze, you're like, allergies, everybody, just so you know. I mean, everybody, you're so scared now because everybody's worried. And for the longest time, if you coughed, like, it's dead serious. They want you out of here. Get mask on, just get out of the store, whatever it may be. But the world will do all they can to put fear. When fear sits in your mind, one of the things I tell the teenagers, I said, do you know what the greatest trick the devil has, or one of them, is to get in your mind. And it don't matter what it is. If he can get in there the slightest bit, and if he can get in your mind, he can breathe fear. And if he can get into fear, then fear will breed doubt. Doubt causes stress. Stress, watch somebody who's overcome with stress. They will be sick mentally, physically. It will destroy who they are. The sickness can lead to depression, anxiety, addictions, and turning away from God. You see, when we stop following God, when we stop seeking His Word, we become complacent. We start listening to the world, and we get the fear and the doubt and the stress, depression, the anxiety. And we start turning away from God. You see, He is the only hope we have through any of this. But what is it, for some reason, when we get sick or we get hurting or we get struggling, we want to turn away from God, away from the only thing that can actually help us? If Brother Eddie, right now, you went and talked to him, the doctors say, there's nothing we can do. Do you know what he's going to do? He's going to keep on praying. Why? Because he's the only one who can do something. I don't care if it's a broke arm, if it's a broke finger. I don't care if it's bleeding on the brain. God hears prayers. God can move and he can deliver. I've watched my dad when he had a blood vessel bust in the base of his brain. I watched him tell him he needed surgery. Before we got there, everybody was praying, and we didn't even get out of the house good. My mom called and said, never mind, they're not going to do surgery. They sent it to some other place, and they could blow it up 3D and spin it around and see his brain and see that it's fine. But you can't tell me that God didn't hear those prayers. I don't know that it was that doctor. I'm not telling you that doctor misread it. I'm not telling you the doctor's wrong. What I'm telling you is I know that God hears prayers. And I know that God continues to heal and to bless and to move people. It don't always go how we want it. But if I start letting the fear get embedded in my mind, and the doubt and the stress and the sickness and depression and anxiety, then I'm going to ruin who I am. I'm going to ruin who God wants me to be. I'm going to ruin the calling that He has for me. Because you see, I can't come out and tell you how great God is. I can't tell you how we need to depend on God and we need to seek God and we need to follow God if I'm not willing to live it. Because you see, it's a lot easier for somebody to preach it to you than it is to live it. One thing I know about our pastor, that I've been in, Karen and I will be married 20 years this year, and we've been dated almost 4 years. October 24th of 98, we started dating. So from then on, I'd see Brother Eddie. I'd see him at home, got to know him. Well, we got married. We've been on vacations. We've been wherever. And the one thing I can say about Brother Eddie, and I guarantee, I know Brother Lynn's been out on hunting trips with him, he's the same here as he is at home. He never changed. He always lived what he preached. And that stuck out to me more than anything. And that's what makes me want to think, am I living what I'm preaching? Am I living what I tell people? Because it's easy for me to tell teens, you need to live your life right. It's easy to tell the kids' church, these are the steps you need to take. But am I living those steps? Because you see, if I'm not living those steps, then the teenagers and the children's church, they're going to suffer for that. Because I got to keep my life right. And that was like a almost like a slap in the face, because I got to continue to live the best I can for, not that I'm perfect because I sin, I assure you, but I got to live the best I can because the teenagers and the children's church that we teach every week, they depend on it. The children's church depends on us. The teenagers depend on me and Brother Kevin. I mean, if me and Brother Kevin are out raising Cain on drugs and all, then we come in and tell them, don't worry, kids. We're forgiven. You got to live your life right. It ain't going to go over so well. It's not going to go well because I'm telling you, kids' church, you can smooth stuff over. Teenagers are going to call you out on stuff. It's just how they are, how they're built. And I mean, it keeps you honest. So I'm telling you, we got to be able to live this. Are we drying up? One other thing that was really, I want to say it really stuck out to me, but it took me a while to see. Is I pray for discernment. I want God to give me discernment where I can see if something ain't right, somebody's not right. I want to be able to see it. Now, I don't want to be able to tell everybody's business. I want to be able to see. We may need to steer clear from there because it don't feel right. Okay. But one of the things I had to learn is your friends. Are your friends helping you or are your friends hindering you? I mean, we were talking with Kylie the other day about friends and all, and I told her, I said, honey, the older you get, the more you see that you ain't going to have but just a few good friends that will stick with you through your lifetime and that are there to truly there to help you. They're truly there to stick with you. I said, it's going to be few and far between. You're going to see many of friends come and many of friends go, I'm sure. But our friends will let us talk us into stuff, but we'll let them pull us away. Because I've been friends with some people, and I've wanted to continue to be their friends. So maybe I didn't preach to them like I should. I always said, well, they know where I stand with God. They know where I stand. Well, you know, it finally hit me that that's not enough to say, well, Brother Chris knows where I stand, so I really don't got to tell him. Who knows what Brother Chris is going through? Because, you see, I sit and talk to guys at work. Part of our job is guys at work. That's part of my job, is to build relationships with them. But I don't want to build a relationship that's fake, that just says, hey, how you doing, and we go on. I want to know the people. And for them to get to know them and them know me, they have to know where I stand. And that's not just taking for granted they know where I stand. Anytime that anything goes on, then we know that, well, do you want us to pray for you? We'll add you to the prayer list. We'll be praying. They always know we're praying. I've had a few of the guys text me, you got stuff going on in the family if you don't mind praying for us. And that's probably one of the greatest honors I could have. Anything at work that they learn, that's good. But for somebody to reach out and to see a difference, that maybe your prayer life makes a difference in their life. So be careful of those who are hindering you and not helping you. You know, we see people in the Bible that should have dried up and should have given up. I look at Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was his daddy's favorite, and he was sold. He should have given up, but he didn't. He held strong, and what happened? God put him in Potiphar's house, and he did good. And then what happened? Potiphar's wife. So they moved him into prison. He should have given up. He should have said, all right, Lord, I've lived for you long enough. I give up. But you see, if you look at Joseph in the prison, and I don't know how many of you spiritually have ever been in a prison spiritually, but if you look at Joseph in his prison spiritually, you see, he thought he saw a way out because it was the baker and the cupbearer. And he was like, oh man, this is my way out. He interpreted their dreams. But you see, he did so good in the prison that they put him over the prison. He took care of everybody else, and they was like, he's good. We ain't got to mess with him so much. So he gets these two, and he interprets the dreams for them. The cupbearer is returned back to the king, and the baker is killed. And he tells the cupbearer, remember to tell Pharaoh I interpret this dream. Remember, Pharaoh has a dream 2 years later. 2 years later, two more years he spent in prison when he felt like he deserved to be out of there. 2 years he spent in prison when he had his way out and somebody didn't remember him. 2 years he was still down there. When I know in his mind he thought he could have been free. But you see, there was a purpose for him being in the prison. You see, sometimes we go through trials and we go through tribulations, and all we want to do is have a pity party and bash and don't know why we're facing these. But look at Joseph. Joseph did nothing wrong, but he was in the prison for two extra years. Why? Because God had a time and a purpose for him. If you feel like you're in a prison and God has not delivered you from the prison, if you feel like there's got to be some reason, but I just can't figure it out. Now, I've been praying, and I've been seeking, and I've been fasting, and you just will not do this for me. I want to tell you, just hold on. Don't give up, because if Joseph would have given up, he never would have been Pharaoh's right-hand man. But he held strong, even though he was in the prison, even though he didn't deserve to be in the prison. We feel like we don't deserve this stuff, God. You should treat us better if we're Christians. But how can I tell you how bad the prison is if I ain't been there myself? How can I tell you that God will deliver from the prison if I didn't sit down there myself? But he went through it. And what happened when he held on? He became Pharaoh's right-hand man. He saved his daddy and his brothers who betrayed him. He saved them. Talk about somebody that probably should have given up. Remember the lady with the alabaster box? How God had forgiven her. She had busted the alabaster box over him and wiped his feet with her hair. And they were like, this could have been sold with money. And one part of that story I remember is where Jesus says, if you've been forgiven much, you're going to love much. Because you're going to know what you were delivered from. You see, I can't understand. Brother Keith Hembree is probably the most open person I've ever talked to about a drug addiction. He started the addictions ministry here at church, and he's probably the most open person that tells you, I was addicted, and he said, the only way I made it through was through God. I've come to his class before, supporting Brother Keith, and I've heard him tell people that, well, we just don't want to, you know, we'll just see. And he's like, no, you're just scared to make, because she's worried to death that you're going to have to make a commitment and stick with it. And he said, and at first I was like, holy cow, he's not busting him in the jaw. But you know what Brother Keith said? He said, I've been in your shoes. I've sat where you're sitting making excuses of why I didn't want to make a commitment to a church. I've sat with these excuses of why I didn't want to commit. He said, but you know what I learned? I had to commit to get better. I had to commit. So he was sitting there in his life, the way he lived, he knew what to tell them. And he knew he could tell them, because he said, I've sat in your shoes. I've been where you are. I've been where I feel like there was no deliverance, no way out. He said, I had to go to the rehab, and God delivered me. And he said, that was the only way. One other thing we can remember. I remember the lady of the issue of blood. I remember 12 years she had fought, spent all she had, 12 years she'd face something and said, I'll never get out of it. But she never give up. You see, if we want to dry up, give up. Giving up's easy. It's easy to sit back and wither away, turn into a hermit crab. Nobody talk to you. You don't talk to nobody. It's easy to give up and quit. And that's how we start drying up. But make a commitment. Make a commitment that says, I'm not going to dry up. I'm not going to give up. It's going to be hard. There's going to be trials we face. There's going to be situations that don't go the way we think they should. But you know what, Brother TJ? I serve a God that has never failed. Not one time has he failed me. Now, his answer may have been different than what I was thinking, but not one time has he failed me. Not one time has he left me laying in the ditch. Not one time has he told me, I'm too busy for you right now.
Not one time has he done that. But you know what he has done? In the nights where I feel like everybody should be asleep and I've been crying and praying because we've been facing things and going through things, he's reached down and lifted me up and said, don't worry. Have a peaceful night's sleep because I got this worked out. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to handle this situation. Yeah, I know it may be tough. Yeah, I know it's hard. But hold strong. Hold strong till you walk with God. And one thing that I know that will help me keep from drying up is to remember the saints of old. Remember what God has done. Has God ever done anything for anybody in here? Let me ask you another question. I know the answer to that. Has God ever done something for you that you knew was God because nobody else knew about it and nobody else could handle it? And nobody else could do it but him. Okay, well, if you take that, how do you dry up? Because you see, it's easy when we get trials to see these things and let them weigh us down and tear us down and beat us down. But then we get remembering what he's done for us. Because see, I remember when he touched my dad and healed him. I can remember when God has done things in my life that he shouldn't have done or he could have turned it another way. Because they'll tell you, if you have a stroke or aneurysm, it can go and you can die right there. But you see, he didn't. Why? Because God had a purpose for him. I've watched God move. I've watched him deliver. I've watched him heal. So don't give up. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care if you feel like you've been in a spiritual prison. Well, tonight's the night to break out of it. I don't care if it's health, if it's sickness. There's a way that God will deliver you. We got to quit giving up. We got to quit drying up. When have we seen the miracles that they used to see back in the days? We sit in here and we worry if we're too hot or if we're too cold or if the blue carpet matches the gray walls or if the chair is comfortable or if the fan blows just right. We get all our stuff off, but we don't get it focused on what it should be. By the time we get our mind set on where it should be, the church is over and we're leaving. If we can come in with our mind made up that says, I'm not going out the same way I come in because I want to go out different. I don't want to leave the same person that came. And I don't care if I've been a Christian for 50 years or 100 years or for a year. I want to leave different from when I come in because I want to be spiritually fed and I want to be closer to God. And if you see me at the altar every time we have an altar call, don't talk about me. Just come pray for me. Because this was set back here and we'll talk about, oh, he ain't never getting deliverance, any. Well, I tell you what, maybe he's waiting on you to build your faith up to get down here to help him get deliverance. It's time we quit bashing each other and tearing each other down. It's time we start encouraging and building each other up, and that's how we're going to keep from drying up. We're not going to dry up if we don't get complacent. We got to continue to keep our walk with God because we got to stay steadfast, unmovable. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do at times. I'm going to read 1558 again from the Amplified. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware. Listen to this. Being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. I don't care if you send out text messages. I don't care if you sweep the floors. I don't care if you clean the toilets. I don't care if you're the pastor. I don't care if you're the ministers. I don't care if you come up here and dust. God has a purpose for you, and your work in the Lord will not go unseen. God sees what you do. God will reward you for what you do. So we have to stay steadfast and immovable in the work of God, and it's not going to come back void. Your work will never come back void. You know what? I may never be a millionaire in this world, and I'm okay with that. Because there's a lot of millionaires that are miserable in their lives. Me and Karen always said, as long as we hopefully can pay our bills and be able to help other people, that's where we find our happiness and contentment. Because we know that if you look at my bank account, it may not be overflowing. But also, have you ever heard the story of the meal barrel? if somebody's struggling and they need something, it's like, I guess we can, and then go back and still like the same was there, like you never gave. You can't tell me God doesn't make a way. You can't tell me that God doesn't hear your prayers. You can't tell me that God doesn't see what you're facing and what you're going through. Brother Eddie, right now, I've always admired Brother Eddie. I've always wanted to be a preacher like Brother Eddie. Like, man, if I could get up there and preach like him, whew, man, we'd have this house and preach it down. But that's not what God's called me to be. Me and Brother TJ was talking earlier. God's called me to be Tony. I know it's boring a lot of times. I'm not a life of the party. But I thank God for the life he's given me, for blessing me as he has. I thank God that he's put me in a church with people like y'all, each and every one of you. Because when I was thinking about this message and all and drying up, then I get seeing each and every one of your faces. And I know there's not a person in here that I can't call. I know there's a person in here that won't answer the phone or be praying for me if I call. Had a brother come over one day who was going to help me with the floor, and we wind up busting more water lines than the floor I laid, I believe. I said, well, just so you see, this is how my luck goes. But I know there's people of this church we've called multiple times, and they've been right there. And no problems, no worries, just Brother Lynn, when I talked to him one day about busting all the water lines, he's like, you know I got everything to fix that. Why didn't you call me? It's like, I was hoping I could fix it myself, but it just don't go well sometimes. But I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank you for the commitment you've made to God. I thank you for the important impact you are to this church. I know Brother Eddie and Sister Penny have said multiple times how much they love their church, but I know we spend a lot more time with the kids, children's church, and the teenagers, and that's why I guess my mindset's the same as theirs, so it works out good. But we've got a great group of people, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate the love that you have for each other. I appreciate the love that you show each and every time we have anything here. If you wouldn't mind, if everybody would stand. I never want to dismiss without an altar call. I feel like I've tried to deliver what God has given me. And I feel like more than anything, that this message spoke to me, probably more than anybody else. Because I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to dry up. I don't want to be the person that used to be on fire for God. I want people to see me, and I want people to know that there's a difference in me, and that they can have that difference as well. If everybody bow your head and close your eyes, this altar's open. If you want prayer, come down. You have brothers and sisters praying for you. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be up here. I'm thankful to serve a God who never fails me. If you feel like you're drying up, if you feel like you've been in spiritual prison, just hold on, because the doors are going to be busted now. God's going to come in and take care of you. God will deliver. He will move. He will never, never, never fail you. Nobody wants to come. If you don't mind, bow your head and close your eyes, and we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to be able to come to your church, Lord. We thank you for your people, God, and the heart they have for you. We thank you for dying on the cross for us. We thank you for being our peace, for being our comfort, Lord, and for being our deliverer. God, I thank you for reaching down and touching Mama Kate and Brother Eddie as well. God, I thank you for healing her, and I thank you for encouraging and strengthening him, God. I thank you for blessing and being with them and lifting them up, Lord. Help them not to fear, help them not to doubt, and help them not to be worried, Lord, but to know that you're in control. God, I pray that you would go with us throughout this week. I pray that you would bless every prayer request, those that are hurting, struggling, those that lost their loved ones, those that need peace, those that need comfort. I pray that you would continue to bless and be with them. Watch over us this week, Lord. Help us to make a positive impact on people's lives. Help us to make a difference for you, Lord. And help us to not dry up, Lord, but to just be on fire for you. Watch over us, go with us, keep us safe, and we praise you, we love, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.